Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and the truth of the Word of God, and living in a world now that is so deceived. They even brag on their deceptions, how good they are, and God is not anywhere near. Yet there is the Bible, and really, everyone in the world has one or available, and God has caused that to be in the end times so that there would be a witness to everyone, the whole world, and all nations. Now, what about you? Do you study the Bible? Do you know the Bible? Do you know why you were here? Do you know why you were born? Now, we got a brand new book out, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God. Why Were You Born? The most important book that you need besides the Bible. And the Bible is the Word of God, from the God of truth to His creation, showing His purpose, the reason why we're here, showing the history of the past, the future through prophecy, and He wants us to understand. However, there are keys to understanding the Bible. And actually, there are 14 rules. And last time we covered the first rule, begin with the simple scriptures. Now, let's continue on and look at some other scriptures to tell us how we approach it. What do we do? And since it is the truth of God, now, it's up to us to sort out the lies of men, because there are many lies associated with Christianity, as a matter of fact, more than ever before. Because there is a Satan, the devil, who is the god of this world, fighting against the God of creation to try and destroy His creation and lead people so they will never find God. But God is greater than that. God is greater than men. God is greater than all men because He created them. Now, when the Apostle Paul was preaching the gospel, and he was traveling from city to city, he came to the city of Thessalonica. Now, let's notice what he did. Come down here to Acts 17 and verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent away by night to Berea both Paul and Silas, who when they arrived went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, why did he go there? Because the Jews had the Word of God at that time, which was the Old Testament. And did you know that there are hundreds and hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ, about how He would come, when He was born, how the gospel would be preached, and also because they met on the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, which is still the Sabbath day today. Now, I know there are hundreds of arguments out there against Sabbath keeping, but we have two booklets that you need, Which Day is the True Lord's Day, and A Sabbath Sunday Controversy You Have Never Read. And you need those. Now let's look and see what the Bereans did when Paul and Silas was teaching them. Because in Thessalonica, they ran them out. They didn't want to hear it. However, when they got to Berea, notice what is written. Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word of God with all readiness of mind, that is, willing to believe the truth, because the Word of God is true. And also remember, God cannot lie. So all of those atheists who throw away the Bible and say it's filled with myths and lies have absolutely no understanding at all. For they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Because the Bible gives us the words of truth, and we can prove whether these things are true or not. Now, verse 12. As a result, a great number of them believed, including not a few of the honorable Greek women and men. Now then, Paul wrote an epistle to the Thessalonians. Paul and Silas had to leave Thessalonia because of the persecution of the Jews. And he writes about that in 1 Thessalonians. And he gives us something very important to understand, a very simple scripture that we need to apply to everything, not only just the scriptures. That's the most important thing we need to do. Prove it. Because there are too many men out there with sleight of hand wanting to teach things that are contrary to the Word of God. So he says in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 21, prove all things. Three words. Prove all things. Now combine that with the three other words that God says, obey my voice. And the voice of God has been written down. The teachings of God have been written down. So you might ask the question, what would God say to me if I could talk to him personally? Well, you have it. If you have a Bible, you have it. Okay? Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Now let's understand something else. Here's what Paul wrote to Timothy concerning what a minister should do. And of course, when you read the New Testament, especially 1 and 2 Timothy, you find out that there was resistance against the Word of God from day one. And that's why understanding the Bible is so important. And many people have many opinions about many things, but remember this. Opinions do not count. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe God? Do you believe in God? Do you believe He's creator of everything that there is? Do you believe that the Word of God is the Word of God, the Holy Bible? Question. Is God greater than any of us? Yes, indeed. He made us. We're made in His image for a great and a special purpose. That's why you need the book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, Why Were You Born? All right. On 2 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy, and we see that he's giving them instructions on how to understand the Bible and what he should do. Every minister needs to study the Word of God, believe the Word of God, live by the Word of God, teach the Word of God in truth. Because their opinions about it do not matter. Give you one clue. How many people believe in Sunday and keep Sunday, and yet that is directly against the commandment of God, the fourth commandment?
We can find another characteristic of the sun worship in the Catholic Church in their use of lamps and candles. Even in the daytime, they light lamps and candles on the altar. People buy the candles displayed before the statue of Mary saints, and popes so that they can light the candle, put it on the altar, and pray. When starting the Mass or marching in procession after the Mass, the priest carrying the candle is always at the front. Where does the use of candles in Catholic Church come from? Historian Alexander Hislop says that the use of candles in the Catholic Church comes from pagan rites.
The use of these lamps and tapers comes from the same source as all the rest of the papal superstition. For so, according to the established rites of Zoroaster, was the sun god worshipped. In the pagan processions also at Rome, the wax candles largely figured, accompanied by crowds of all sorts that were initiated in the same religion, all with flame bow or wax candles in their hands. In the Molucca Islands, wax tapers are used in the worship of Nito, or devil, whom these islanders adore.
Catholic scholars also admit that the use of candles in the Catholic Church came from paganism.
We need not shrink from admitting that candles, like incense and lustral water, were commonly employed in pagan worship and in the rites paid to the dead. We must not forget that most of these adjuncts to worship were not identified with any idolatrous cult in particular. They were common to almost all cults.
Candles commonly appear in numerous rites of pagans. And it proves that the use of candles in the Catholic Church comes from sun worship.
Think on that. How many believe that lie? And why do they believe the lie? Because they just believe what they are told. Now let's see something here. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 14. See that they remain mindful of these things, earnestly charge them in the sight of the Lord, not to argue over words that are not profitable in any way, but which lead to the subverting of those who hear. False doctrines. That's what they were teaching. Even in Paul's day, they were teaching the false doctrine that there's no resurrection and that the resurrection is past. And yet the whole New Testament is based upon what? The life, the teachings, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? And what is the promise and the hope of those who believe? It is the resurrection. Not the immortality of the soul. You don't go to heaven when you die. You go to the grave. And there you wait the resurrection. Now, verse 15. Diligently study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what we all need to do in studying the Bible. If you don't rightly divide it, you're going to come up with error. It's just like anything else. If you leave out the facts, if you leave out the truth, you're going to come up with error. Partial truth is partial truth. It is not complete. It needs other things. And that's why the Bible needs to be put together, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, and rightly dividing the word of God. Okay? here called the word of truth. But avoid profane and vain babblings, for they will only give rise to more ungodliness, and their words will eat away at the body like gangrene, of whom are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have gone astray from the truth, claiming that the resurrection has already taken place, destroying the faith of some. Nevertheless, he says, the foundation of God stands firm. That is the word of God. Now let's see some other scriptures concerning searching and studying and understanding the word of God. Let's come to Proverbs 25. There are some things in the Bible that are easy to understand. There are some things that are difficult to understand. And you don't start studying the Bible with the view or the goal of understanding the complicated things. You come to the simple things. That's the first step. Now, Proverbs 25 and verse 2. The glory of God is to conceal his thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. And so that's what we do. Search the scripture, study it, understand it. Now we have covered the first one. Begin with the simple. Now, let's come to number 2. Let the Bible interpret and prove the Bible. Don't look for what you want to prove. Look for what the Bible actually proves. Now, let's show an example that is used. Let's come to Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Now, here is where all of those who believe in Sunday say Jesus didn't mention the Sabbath. And sure enough, he doesn't. But does that mean that we can reject the Sabbath of God, which he calls holy? Does that mean we can bring our ideas to it? So let's read it here. Matthew 19 and verse 16. Not that time one came to him and said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Everyone wants to live forever. Yes, indeed, so did this man. And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except one, God. Now, why did Jesus say, don't call me good, when he was perfect? Because as long as he was human, with human nature, and you can never call human nature good. So he said, don't call me good. But if you desire to enter into life, keep the commandments. Aha, here comes a tricky one. Then he, the man, said to him, which? And Jesus said, now notice. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as yourself. Doesn't mention the Sabbath. Why didn't Jesus mention the Sabbath? Now see, the first mistake people make is they read Sabbath Sunday into the New Testament, and there was never a Sabbath Sunday controversy in the New Testament. It was always the truth of God and the Scriptures versus the religion of Judaism and their traditional laws. Now, that's why you need the book, Judaism, Revelation of Moses, or Religion of Men. While the Jews did have the Sabbath, while the Jews did keep the Sabbath, they didn't keep it the way it should have been kept, and this booklet will explain all about that. So, in Judea, where Jesus was, which day did the whole country keep? The seventh day Sabbath. Was there any need to mention the Sabbath commandment? or was the young man already a Sabbath keeper? See, they don't ask those questions. They assume and read their own ideas into it, which is violating the second rule of Bible study. And the young man said to him, I've kept all these things from my youth. What do I yet lack? Jesus said to him, if you desire to be perfect, go and sell your property and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. He was actually offering him something greater than everything that he had. But he couldn't handle that. He couldn't stand that. So he walked away because his idol, breaking the second commandment, was his wealth. Now then, let's come to Mark the second chapter. And here is why Jesus did not mention the Sabbath, because the whole nation was keeping Sabbath day. What day do you think all the synagogues were open that Jesus went into to preach? Sunday? I even had a letter from a man who said, well, if you read the fourth commandment, we're not to do any work on the Sabbath. So what we do on the seventh day is stay home and rest. Then we go to church on Sunday. All right, that shows a good example of reading your own opinions into the scriptures. Did they assemble for services on the Sabbath? Did they walk and travel on the Sabbath? Yes, they did. Now here, Mark 2, verse 27. And Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man. Now, a lot of people believe the Sabbath was made for the Jews. Not true. For man. In this case, all mankind. And not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now stop and think about that. And this is how you put the scriptures together. You take Matthew 19 that we previously read, and you bring in the scripture concerning what Jesus said, that he is Lord, matter of fact, creator of the Sabbath day, because Jesus was the Lord God of the Old Testament. Now notice what he did on that Sabbath day, chapter 3. And again he went into the synagogue, and that's on the Sabbath day. And a man who had a withered hand was there, and they were watching to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath in order that they might accuse him. Oh, if you heal someone, you're working, breaking the Sabbath. No, you're not. You're releasing someone from bondage. Then he said to the man who had the withered hand, stand up here in the center. And he said to him, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? So Jesus kept the Sabbath day, not because he was a Jew, but because he was the Creator God who created the Sabbath and was God in the flesh. Another thing, little sidebar here, God always keeps his own law. He is lawgiver. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they were silent. And after looking around at them with anger, Jesus got angry because that kind of attitude, even on the Sabbath day, desecrates the Sabbath day. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as sound as the other. And then everybody in the synagogue stood up and cheered and clapped hands and hugged each other and thanked Jesus and said what a wonderful thing it was, and asked the man, "Show us your hand." "Yes, it does work. Look at that. What a wonderful thing. Isn't it nice to have your hand back again instead of all withered up?" Is that what they did? Notice the Pharisees. They were the ones, and are the ones today, who replaced the law of God with their own traditions. Now, you need to get our book on Judaism and read how many silly laws they have for Sabbath keeping. It is incredible. And when Jesus says that their laws burden down men, he is absolutely correct. The laws of God are to free man from sin. But notice, verse 6, "Then the Pharisees left immediately, took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him." Isn't that interesting? So there is an example of rule number 2. Let the Bible interpret and prove the Bible. Don't look for what you want to prove. Look for what the Bible actually proves. Do this by looking at all passages relevant to the study. Now, there are many more passages we could do. We could go to Isaiah 58, Isaiah 56, which are prophecies of the end time. "Blessed is the man who keeps the Sabbath, who calls the Sabbath a delight, who doesn't do his own business on the Sabbath." You see? Now look at the world. Is the world in trouble? Yes, indeed. Take the Ten Commandments. Do a little Bible study. Go right down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Ask yourself the question, how many people are keeping the Ten Commandments? And you will be astonished. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And be sure and write for the booklets that we have mentioned. And be sure and get yourself the good Bible that we have brought up time and again, the Holy Bible in its original order, which will help you understand the Bible better than anything you have ever had. So once again, this is Fred Coulter saying so long, everyone, and thank you for inviting me into your home.